Once in a row, I was like, oh my god. When I heard this, I was like, can you change the date? But decided to save our convention, so that's right.
Sergeant Huey, could you turn the volume, massive volume up a little bit?
I appreciate that. Thank you for going to all the fire department meetings. Are you going with the fire department?
Test. Thank you.
Oh, what did you say? Oh, wow.
Okay, let's get started.
Joining the church choir. You know, I love to sing.
Sorry to cut you guys off.
Reconvening.
Okay, Cliff, come here. You're on. Is this better now with somebody? Okay, good.
What the?
You're gonna need to move.
You mean you can't hear me?
I can hear you always.
I bet. Okay, we are up to the last item. If you look in your agenda packet, where do we start here? Page 83, and we'll be talking about really the ultimate contract we're going to discuss here is at page 103. The Park Building Committee has been meeting. We had several meetings. As you know, as many of you know, there is consideration of the rebuilding of this building, and three scenarios have been proposed pursuant to prior authorizations from this board. One is a basic fix of the building, which is about $750,000 in cost. The second option that was presented is a fix of the building plus enhancements of the building to improve it. And the third option is not only to do that, but also to deal with the annex building and fix it. And that's very expensive. It's well over, what is it, Lisa, over $2 million? Yes, for the third option. So part of the process of trying to decide how we're going to go about fixing this building, because we definitely have to do that to make it safe and to upgrade it to a really useful building, is putting the financing of that building to the electorate. It costs a lot of money to put a bond measure of any kind or an assessment measure on the ballot. Because of that, we wanted to be pretty sure that the community, before we go to that expense of putting it on the ballot, I mean, I think it, what did we say, it was on the order of $100,000 to $150,000 to put it on the ballot. This board previously authorized the engagement of a survey firm up to $24,000 to take a survey of a statistically significant sample of the community to ascertain whether or not this community had an appetite for an assessment or bond measure and how much. And we've been meeting about that, and there was an RFP. We put out an RFP for survey firms, and initially it was to five candidates, and initially three of those responded with a proposal, and then two of them teamed up, and so we wound up with the team and another firm. The team is composed of the Godby firm and the Lou Edwards firm. The other respondent was the Tulchin firm. Each of those sent not only extensive written materials, but also came and presented the proposal for taking a survey to the committee. And we interviewed them at length. And ultimately, the subcommittee decided that the Godby firm was the better of the two. The proposal they initially presented was something on the order of $19,000 for an 18-minute survey plus $5,000 for further work from the Lou Edwards group. We went back to them and said, you know, we really don't need the additional research at this time. We want the survey, and we want it to be a good survey, statistically significant, that would give us a good idea, because as you know, to pass a measure like that, we would have to have a two-thirds vote. And we want to be sure that we could get that before we went to the expense of putting it on the ballot. So we came up with that recommendation, and you can see the contract at page 103, and we would recommend, the subcommittee would recommend that we authorize the chief to enter into that contract to have the Godby firm perform a statistically significant survey that gives us an indication of whether or not a ballot measure for the purpose of upgrading this community center would be successful. And we are recommending the 18-minute survey. That is to say, they would be calling approximately 250 voters, and it would be for 18 minutes each. So that's it. That's as clear as I can make it. Lisa, would you add anything? Lisa worked very heavily on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes.
Okay.
So I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
18 minutes. If you get someone, you ask them one question, and they talk for 18 minutes?
No, there are many questions that they ask them. And
no, but what if somebody talks for 18 minutes? You know, they talks for 10 minutes on one question. So they don't necessarily go through the entire survey. They take 18 minutes and then cut it off.
I think these are yes-no questions.
Oh, they're yes. Okay. We have some talkative people in the community, you know. Just thought maybe we'd get an earful.
They actually time the survey. They test it and time it after all the questions
are finished. Oh, I see. Okay.
So that's how they put it out. The 18 minutes gives them the opportunity to ask more questions.
And why did you pick this firm versus the other one? You said you looked at two.
They were head and shoulders above the other firm. The other firm was kind of bare bones. It felt to us as though they had never dealt with our kind of community before and our kind of issue. Godby showed up as a team. I mean, they had the head of the firm, and they had other associates and colleagues with them, and they spoke, they were polished, and their materials were extensive. They had just their level of experience. They weren't even in the same ballpark.
They seem to have a pretty good track record here, too, as I'm looking at what
yes.
they listed here.
Very good track record.
This is what they do.
Record.
This is what they do. This is their public elections right. for public agencies. They do polling for public agencies, and they're very, very good at it.
And additionally, they have a tremendous amount of experience with smaller jurisdictions, including jurisdictions around El Cerrito.
El Cerrito, yeah. Albany.
You know,
so the,
I just had a question. You had alluded to an expanded questionnaire, like you talked about the 18 minutes that being a certain amount, and then you mentioned that.
Yeah, there's a 15 minute, it's a $1,300 difference.
And that's what you meant by expanded?
Yes.
Okay, in the same subject area, not doing more than you just got this for the community.
Oh no, this is directly related to this building and its development, its repair and development. It's not a survey of general priorities for the community.
So technically you're saying it's like we're paying maybe 20, you say it costs, a bond measure costs about 100,000?
Well, that's my understanding. That's what I was told.
$125,000 included in the survey.
So we're paying somewhere between 25% to find out if.
Here's the deal about why you do this. If you go straight to an election without a survey and you don't have any kind of numbers and you lose, you just wasted $100,000. If you do a survey first and you test the waters, you have a pretty good statistically significant population in which you can judge whether or not you have a chance of winning. If you're let me finish, please. If you finish your results and you come in with a 50% approval rating, you're going to think twice about going the whole distance in an election. If you come in with a 75% approval rating or 80%, you might do it. If you come in at 67, 68, well, that's where you flip the coin. But the point is, everybody who we've talked to about these kind of public bond initiatives does a survey. And it's usually the survey plus the cost of the election. That comes in about $150,000. We're talking about $19,000 here for this survey.
I agree with you on that. That wasn't my issue. My issue was talking about the expanded, wanting to know if it stays in the category of the bond measure. If you were asking more of a general, since you're hiring people, and talking about being more of a larger need assessment, so you're going to be like throwing more into it. If you want to, OBG is the measure.
That was the only charge that we had. This was specifically the Park Buildings Subcommittee. It wasn't a charge for, although I think that's what Director Gillette is trying to start here, is to initiate a needs assessment on a regular basis, that we have some kind of process where people can say, you know, I really think we need X, Y, and Z. This one is very targeted for that subcommittee.
But isn't it right, Pat, that you were looking to try to develop on your informal basis.
Right.
But this specific one was...
I was just throwing out the idea of, since you have to go out there and do that, if you couldn't fold in something else in the price, but it may not be worth it because of what that, so I don't know.
Again, we were asked to limit our research right now to the park, so that's what we're doing. The notion of long-term needs is a whole other year-long, two-year-long process, and that deserves its own specific set of requirements and discussions and public meetings. So I don't want to try to piggyback too much on this, because they try to target specifically to the bond you want passed, rather than open it up to a whole bunch of stuff, because then the bond gets lost in the shuffle. So we want to keep this focused on what kind of public financing makes sense and what the public appetite is for spending on that financing. What they do with it.
We know that we're going to have to do the building. The question, if nothing else, seismic drainage, the fundamentals of the building. And the question is, while we're doing that, how far should we go with this building that the public would pay for, that the public would approve? And it would be so expensive just to charge in without having an idea. Because, I mean, you come to these meetings all the time, you're pretty on top of things. But you can see tonight, what did we have, like 50 people here tonight? We don't know, really, what the appetite is of the community for a very targeted expenditure like this. I would hope that everybody would want a terrific park and a beautiful community center, but I don't know how many people feel like that.
But I see Gail's question.
The question that I was raising is, for instance, when you asked during that survey, what is it about the park?
Right, could you add one question onto the end that might be right on a scale of 1 to 10, how you feel about the paths?
Yeah. Well, I have an idea about that dog park. If we do wind up getting rid of the annex, if we wind up that we level that thing, I'm going to put in a bid for a dog park over in that area, because I think that'd be a great dog park, and I too am a dog lover.
I really am in favor of keeping this focus just on the building of this park.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent idea. We're looking for ways to economize here, and we're looking for efficiencies. But I suspect that if we went to the poll takers there, they'd say, if you dilute this thing with other issues, we're not going to get the kind of precise estimate of what your chances are on this bond measure. So I think probably we need to stick to the thing that we're, the issue we're dealing with. But I don't have a problem at all with talking about some other survey we do, and we just try to get some sense of the community about a number of things that people ought to be looking at.
Pat, I think one of the questions being raised, and this, I don't disagree with everything that's been said so far, if I'm looking at the numbers...
Oh, got to make a motion.
Okay, there's a motion, go ahead and make the motion.
I make a motion that we continue this discussion until it is completed.
Even if we go after, okay, 10 o'clock.
We got a second or not?
Can I make a motion to say we'll continue the meeting until we're done with the business on the agenda?
Yes.
I mean, the whole meeting, not just this, there's a closed session, I don't want to pass that short.
Until it's done.
Do we have a second?
What's the procedure today? I don't know.
I'd like to, I'm in favor of the motion, but I want to say I don't think it's required.
Okay.
That was a low blow.
Just as a matter of record.
Okay.
Just kidding.
But I've made the motion that we continue until, that we continue until
Very serious.
All of the matters on the agenda are completed tonight.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It passed unanimously.
You were starting to say something.
The point I was trying to make here, before we went to a far more important point, extending the meeting, was it, at this price, N equaling 250, this has cost us about $75 per survey, or cost $75 per survey. And the first question I have is, if the survey turns up only 200 people, for whatever reason, then are we going to be billed at the 200 people rate versus the 250 people rate? Or if by chance we get to 250 and it looks like maybe they should go over that to 300 or 350, are we going to continue to be billed a $75 interview rate? And of that money, I'm not overly concerned about how it breaks down, but it just looks like that about 80% of it is in telephone interview and research fee in terms of the cost and of that cost per contact.
There's actually a contract survey at 105 that lists the cost by what they intend to charge for each group.
Right, that's what I'm looking at.
And the telephone interview is only 5,200 or 17,000. It's a 200, up to 250 person survey. And I think the notion is the more people you interview within that 250 person population, the more accurate the results.
I understand that, but what is the cost per interview? Because this is being quoted on a bottom line of $17,000 or $18,000. So is there a scale that says if we only need 200 people, we only pay for 200 interviews?
No, it's 200, up to 250, and we're paying the flat fee for that service.
Okay.
We aren't charging by the count.
Do we have any guarantee that they'll try their best to get to 250?
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Up to could mean
this
10.
Could be
their
200.
Entire reputation hinges on their success in accurately predicting the chances and helping to develop the circumstances under which a bond will in fact succeed. That is their business.
Do we want to say to a minimum of X number?
I don't think we have to.
I don't know if you do that. Okay. I have no idea. Okay.
Well, actually, that's a good question. I mean, why would they stop before 250? Because they have tremendous statistical significance with less than that? I mean, why wouldn't we just say they do 250? I'm sorry. Oh, so it depends on how many people are willing to do it?
Yeah.
Is that, I see, okay. Got it.
And then, you know, the fact is that as many as they can get by putting up as much effort as they can.
We might not cooperate with them, yeah, okay.
In the course of these interviews, are they in any way going to sort of overhang the market, we used to call it in my business, where they're telling people, I'm calling on behalf of Kensington, is looking to raise funds to build a building, and then inform these people why they're calling, so the people may form a judgment prior to...
Yeah, no, I mean, their whole interest is to find out what people think without projecting what they think. So, I mean, that's the value to the board.
So they're going to keep it somewhat anonymous.
People think, okay. Not what they think. So they'll put out the questionnaire. I mean, there's It can make it longer. Safety room is extremely long.
Yeah, it is. Extremely long. I just have this vision of somebody calls it. Pretend we were going to build the building somewhere in Kensington, don't know where, and it was going to be this big, and it was going to be overlooking the bay down by the library. Would you pay?
Yes, no. So they actually have,
More clinical approach.
So if you get a sense of where people are doing things or not, and then they'll have price, they get to the price point where they can have some level of information to bring back to the network. You need a $50 a household, but really, realistically now, and then we're going to go into $20.
Okay.
So they're going to come back, and then they'll say, there's differential here. So, like, people, the education campaign, public information, these are the points that really resonate with your community, and it gives you a lot of information about your community, what they think about this stuff.
Here, and...
So, my issue is, we screen our calls. Okay, we have a message that says basically, hello,
who are you?
We listen to the screening message and we decide and whether we're going to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
That's why you never take my calls.
many people... simply, while when they hear the screening message, they simply hang up. Because, great, you didn't have to talk to that person. I'm wondering if a survey company were to call me, I bet they wouldn't leave a message. I bet they would just hang up. We'd never get this call. And I'm willing to bet that there are hundreds and hundreds of households in Kensington
that's
that
very
will never be contacted.
There will be thousands that will never be contacted because only 250 will be.
Yeah. Well, and so, however, if this is a smart surveying company, and I don't know how smart they are, if they were to say to my answer machine, hello, we are doing the Kensington survey. Perhaps you've heard about it in the Outlook. Would you give us a call back? I would call back. Or pick up the phone.
So maybe we can just tell them that.
Yeah.
Well,
because
yeah.
I think it's going to be just really totally slanted.
Yeah. I think it's going to be planned to whoever does plan. You decide when I get phone calls, I say, how long is this going to take? If it's more than 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't have time. And so it's going to be the people that have the time for that.
One of the interviewers, listening to all of you, you sound like me. And we're all very, very naive. These are really professional people. They know so much more than anybody else. If you look at the proposal, you can see the dozens of communities that they've been working on. Dozens. This is not a political survey. They're not politicians. This is an informational survey. They simply want to report back how the community feels. They're not out to convince the community to do one thing or the other. They're out to find out facts. They know that most people are not going to pick up the phone. Their plan is to call everybody. Landline, cell phone. They're hoping to get up to 250 people to hear this much noise. Then they only end up with 100 because that's all that's going to the phone hospital. We are collectively going to develop a survey with them, so we certainly could develop more than one. Okay.
But they're pros. They will come back and say, here's all the things we need to think about. And they don't know exactly what we want to do, so we're going to have to guide them and then guide us. When we interviewed two companies, the company that we recommended, the highly recommended, the company that we didn't recommend, we wouldn't recommend if they offered to do it for free.
Because it won't be accurate.
And again, it was really like night and day, because the one organization that we feel so strongly about, if you look at their proposals, you can see that they've worked with virtually every community in Northern California. They're the polling survey company of choice. And they will give us back real information, whether it's good or bad, or whether it's going to be us to say, let's go full speed ahead, or to say, based on the results, we can't do this. They'll give us that actual information. So again, your questions are a lot of the things that I had thought in my mind when I could actually do them eventually. They say up to 18 minutes because they know some people are going to say, hey, we've got 5 minutes and I don't want to get back to my job. They know that. They do surveys all over the place. They know that after that. So a lot of their questions, and again, we haven't seen the survey, but their questions are going to sort of take the caller where the caller wants to go, but at the same time attempt to pull from the caller the information that they want to give. So in other words, if they're talking to a retired person with no kids in the house, it'll be a very different survey than talking to a very busy mother with three kids screaming in the background.
Right.
They know that. They live through this. Many, many times. There's so much more advanced subject matter experts than any of us. And quite candidly, that's why we have to go with somebody who likes us, because we just don't know.
Well, they're going to have to be extremely good, because they're dealing with a small overall base, 5,000 people. You know, the industry averages about 3 to 5% response on something like that. So
250 would be over 10%.
No, it's going to be more like 150. About 5% would be about 225.
Yeah.
And that's if they contacted everybody in the phone book that lives in Kensington and called every one of them to qualify them.
So that these people are like, they're the best in the department.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Carl.
I have two things that they already said. 18 minutes is a very long time. Very long. I cannot believe that most people would be willing to be on the telephone for 18 minutes. The other thing is what you said. The largest line item out of nothing is research. $7,000. What is this getting? Phone number, or what is it? I mean, seems to me the largest line item ought to be phone interviews, because this is what you do. But $7,000 in research seems out of the question.
What are they researching? Do we know?
I assume they're doing correlations, and they're doing probably testing, looking into similar kinds of weather. It's a general obligation bond, and you have this kind of response to it, whether that's more successful in other communities, like 50% of the communities that have this kind and have that level of response, it works.
So maybe analyzing the data afterwards.
It's very targeted.
They have to develop a pretty competent set of questions to ask to begin with. That takes time and energy. And they have to target it to what this community wants to do with this building. That takes time and energy. So I think, I'll just agree with you, Carl, I think the research fees are worth every dime they spend on it, because they're going to be developing a targeted survey directly to this community. It's not something they just take off the shelf. It's custom made. This is what they do. They custom make surveys for each community and for the initiative that they want considered. And that takes time and energy. So yes, it is expensive, but they are the industry leaders in this, and they have a decent track record doing what they do. So that's my take on it.
There's nothing wrong with this agreement.
Yeah, as I've always said, Carl, reasonable minds can disagree. I'm perfectly willing to state that. I trust your judgment in most things.
You know, I would just comment here. That's the only word there that has the word fee after it. And my, you know, shot in the dark on this would be that most of these other items are sort of cost items. You know, it's going to cost this much to do this. You know, the CATI programming, $1,000, a little bit more for the 18-minute versus 15-minute. The research fee is the same, so I think that's their profit. I think that's the money they make off of this, and the other stuff is more like the cost items for what they're doing. Well, we'll see. I mean, maybe that question could be asked.
Peter.
Oh, I wonder if it might be prudent to somehow prepare the community to let them know that we can, that it's coming, and maybe what the major or sort of the general journal questions would be.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, so people know that they might be getting these calls. That's a good.
And also, who's going to be calling them, so if they hear this is from the acting survey,
Joel,
yep.
You hear that? Peter was saying that if we had something out in the paper or something to prepare the community to let them know that a survey was coming, it might make people more agreeable to taking the call and prepare them that it was a legitimate
Why didn't I
say that? Why didn't you say that?
You know, I said everyone would have to check out the time and talk about this in the community, about getting the word out that there would be a survey, you know, coming and looking at this and
right.
Project to find out how to follow through. So we talked about that in the timeline you should do, and you can certainly just sit in the home and go on and that's really a good idea for us.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
We put that above the fold.
I'm sorry?
We can put that above the fold. That'd be the headline, right? Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm not going to say what to write.
Big survey coming.
It could be a headline that says, look out.
Yeah.
Well, we could do an ad. We could do an ad.
We could. Well, we got to get down to business, folks. I just want to point out that on June 15th, we actually did, at the board meeting, approve the allocation of expense for this for up to $24,000 at that time. We thought it prudent after interviewing the research firms. We don't want to go in there cold on a ballot measure. It's too much money. It's dumb to do. We got to fix the building. It costs money to do it. So there's got to be some connection and some step in between, and we went out as a subcommittee and we sought candidates, we interviewed them, and we spent a lot of time doing that. This is what we came up with, and you know, you want us to go back to the drawing board and find more firms? This is it.
Yes. So I call the question.
All right, call the question. Any more?
I'd like to propose a resolution, if I may.
Yes.
And it's taken right out of the page 83.
Okay.
And resolve that the board direct General Manager Chief of Police Greg Harmon to enter into the contract with Godfrey Edwards for the purpose of obtaining a statistically significant survey of registered voters to determine what is most important for park building improvements, and to ascertain community willingness to support a possible future bond measure to renovate the community center. Further, the board will direct that the funds for payment of Godfrey Edwards come from the $300,000 allocated reserves which have been set aside for the park building.
Second.
Okay, time for the board.
Yes.
Regarding the contract, I sent all of our contracts to go back to the general for legal, and they made a couple of comments. If you want to take those comments from legal into consideration, or if you want to
approved as it is written?
No, we want to know.
Because there was concern about the advanced unit contract stage, the system of the work being done, will be paid right after the kickoff, and then the other system will be paid before the start of the second half of the project. So concern was that this is an advanced payment, we just want to make sure that they're aware of that and we'll get to that.
That, they must have misread that, because it's 50% will be billed once we have the kickoff meeting or have begun work on the questionnaire, right? And then the remaining 50% is...
Well, it's not, though. There's work to be, that will be done. I think I agree with Pat. The contract says 50% of the project will be billed once we have the project kickoff meeting or have begun working on a questionnaire, whichever comes first. With the payment due once we have finalized the questionnaire and are ready to field the survey.
Okay.
You're just a messenger, we know.
Okay, next.
The next issue is the termination clause. It says requires mutual consent, and we have the same kind of unusual nurse suggestion that we have the full ability to
I would agree with that.
I don't see
why we have to terminate the contract on the start, but that was concerned. Yeah, that is weird to have mutual consent for termination of a contract. Well, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
I think either party should have the authority to terminate.
And there's a penalty for terminating, so they're protected.
Well, to read it literally, it says any termination of this agreement by the client after being signed shall be of mutual consent. It's one way to read it is if you, client, terminate this, that constitutes our mutual consent.
It's not clear, but it is
one interpretation.
It looks to me like they're really terminating it. They're saying if they agree, otherwise we're on the hook for the entire agreement.
Because it doesn't say that.
Because we should be able to terminate and only have a termination fee or restocking fee, whatever that is. This says if we want to terminate it after being signed, that they have to agree to that termination.
That's one interpretation of it.
Well,
the
simple way to say it would be the client may terminate the contract at any time.
Just make that, that would be the easiest.
Okay, so I'm going to take it out. The final one came up earlier. Legal rules intend to term up this 250 voter survey without a minimum. I think the first position is simple. Same issue to me in an email.
Right.
They made a suggestion that they could use the minimum number.
I got to say, that does bother me that there's not a minimum.
No, it's going to be
I know
what
they're reputable, but it just seems weird to me there's not a minimum for the amount of money we're paying.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right minimum is, but...
Well, again, you look at the number, 5% of 5,000 is around 250, and that would be 100% saturated to the market. So even at the minimum of, let's say, 200 voting, that's 3%. And they're not going to get much better now.
So what do you think?
I'm thinking that there should be a minimum.
You're thinking what?
But there should be a minimum. There should be a minimum that they're willing to commit to, or else we're entitled to some money.
All right. Then let's, shall we?
There's not 5,000 voters.
No, there's 3,000 or 20, probably 20,000.
Well, then I don't know how you're going to get to 250.
I have a suggestion. If you can issue relief, that it's significant. However, whatever.
That's right.
Well, so that's the minimum number.
Well, if I could say something else, I mean, what I see lacking here is them saying, making the commitment to make their best effort to get as many as they can. They may try as hard as they possibly can, and people may refuse to answer the phone, and that's not their fault. But they ought to be saying that they'll make every effort they possibly can to get, 250 responses.
If you were a guy and you called a cold base of 33,000 people, you're not going to get 250.
But, yeah, my point is we want them to try their best.
Yes.
They're not saying
yes.
anything about what kind of effort they're going to make. That's what I find lacking here.
Okay, so...
I think you're demeaning the quality of the service you're actually buying here. This company just didn't fall off the truck. They've been doing this for a long time, and they're very reputable. I don't think you need to worry about what they use their best efforts, because they're only as good as their last job. And if they don't do a good job for us, they aren't going to hear the end of it. So keep in mind, this is what these guys do. They've been doing it for like 19 years, something like that. So let's give them some quality. I mean, let's trust them. This is what they do. We wouldn't have chosen this company, except that they are really the best out there in their field. So I mean, their quality, their name precedes them.
I agree with you. You hire
a law firm like Orrick because you know you're going to get quality legal services. You aren't going to go in there and chisel them. Well, gee, it was past the let charge of $2,000 an hour. I'm not going to pay that. Even if you're getting $2,000 an hour worth of quality service.
And you're not going to get a letter from them that says, and by the way, she will do everything she can to execute this professionally. I know that. That's why you go there.
Well, normally contracts have that kind of language in them, but I'm not going to fight over it. I mean, if you guys think... They're going to do a good job, fine. Is somebody?
So that's just calling numbers, and again, Andrew, she knows that we don't get
money for
that.
No, they need to call that.
Move on,
no, it's a little deeper than that. Part of the research is actually that we look at the voter rolls and how people vote, the demographics of voter rolls, and we try to make the calls accordingly to give us the demographics that we're looking for.
Age.
It's not a random. They're going down the phone book of the British voters. They're actually trying to give us demographic sample.
Are they actually going to be calling just residences, homes? Because
they call cell phones and.
Because better than 50% of the numbers in Kensington are cell phones.
Right. They use the voter registration center and that on those.
So I'm going back to Anthony's comment. How did they come up with 250? I mean, is that statistically significant, or is that just a number they use?
That was based on the fact that we had 3,500 registered voters, and that was knowing the community size, the 3,500 registered voters, and the 2,200 households. They were hoping. Best case scenario,
yes, that is what they say is statistically significant, that if you telephone, that's what they say. I mean, you can say, oh, well, how do we know they're telling us the truth? I mean, I don't know.
Well, no. What they said is, Kensington's a small community. They said, we're going to try our best to get 250. And we'll be lucky if we do. And we're just telling you right now, you're not going to get more than 250. But you're not paying. If you have 30,000 people, if you get 500 or 700,000, but if you're your size, if you know we're 12 million people now, you're going to be lucky if you do. And what they'll do is they'll put it in the community. Like in all these surveys, they'll be doing fast research about how many.
Based on how many they actually get, you'll get some factor of
plus or minus certain fee.
I think that the certain fee may be somewhere, and we don't have that full amount. So we have to apply on those funds, the funds, but the certain factor is working at 2%. If you're interested in making it, both of those debt can be somewhere near, just because of the size. So that's what we're talking about.
Any more discussion?
So, back to the motion. So additional marching orders that have to be given in the contract itself. And the only thing that does change in the contract itself is the termination clause, or it should be a mutual consent.
To strike that?
I think your decision was to have either party have the right to terminate on notice to the other.
Yeah.
No, that's not that's what we not, said. No.
Okay, then tell me what.
I think you strike the first sentence. Any termination by the client after being signed shall be of mutual consent. You take that out, and it just says you need to say we have the authority to terminate.
I think we should, that first sentence, simply say the client may terminate the contract at any time.
Right.
And then we get charged the fee if we do it.
Yeah.
I don't think we want to say they can terminate at any time. There's no penalty clause for them. So.
Right. Just the client may terminate. The client may terminate this agreement at any time.
At the risk of playing devil's advocate, was it on a view that we have another vote on this?
I didn't hear that. What did you say?
They don't agree.
At the risk of playing devil's advocate, suppose you don't agree to the changes you want to make. We can bring this back and do it again.
I can't imagine
think
they would
agree
to that. That would be awfully unreasonable.
Do you have any suggestions?
Or we can
they get the charge of 15% termination fee. I mean, why would they disagree?
I'm not suggesting it. I just want to know the mechanics of what happens if they don't.
Well, they want the money.
Well, I think, yes, the answer to your question is yes. If they won't say that, that's what we're saying. Is the client may terminate this agreement at any time. If the agreement is terminated, Godby will bill the client for all work completed to date, including subcontractor's work, plus a termination, 15% termination fee. So the answer is yes. If they won't do that, then we have to come back and do it again.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, are we doing anything about the up to 250?
You folks expressed the request for a minimum of 200 calls, a minimum of 200 people on the survey?
I don't know what's reasonable, so I don't feel comfortable putting a number out there.
I just have a question. This thing says at the top, contracts and agreements between Godby and its clients include the following general terms and conditions. It sounds like they have a contract that's going to go into more detail than this.
This is it.
I don't think we're seeing the contract they want us to sign.
Where are you reading from?
What we've been talking about, where the termination fee
and
all that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's like a general list of terms we can expect to see in the contract, but this is not the contract
this
we're going to sign.
This is it.
Well, it doesn't even say what they're doing for us.
Well, turn to the previous page. Look at 103.
I think this is an LOI. It's not a contract.
Oh, God.
A letter of intent.
There's a very detailed description of exactly what they will do, and it breaks it out by 5 points.
Yeah.
This letter will serve as the agreement for the services between the district and Godby. So, when signed by both parties, last sentence in the first paragraph.
Well, it's just kind of odd the way the second page has that general. I don't know if that's binding or not, frankly.
That's the problem.
Funky contract.
They're samplers, not lawyers.
I guess.
Well, they're paying for another expertise.
All right, well, I'm good with that.
Yeah. So I read the minimum amount,
right? Yeah.
Okay, what's
the name? I think when we changed the one of the termination clause.
Determination?
So,
wasn't there something else?
No. Well, there was the two installments, 50 and 50 at the time. But I think there's enough.
That's it.
Meet there that we're okay with that.
Okay.
So I have a resolution on the table, and it looks like we have to amend it to include the one change, subject to the ability to negotiate the termination clause as we've just read.
Subject, no, it has to be subject to Godby's agreement to the termination clause.
I second that. Change.
Okay.
Go to
call.
Sounds like we can. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
It's unanimous.
Okay. Are we done?
Okay.
All right.
I think that concludes the open session. New business. The board will now adjourn to closed session. Those in the audience who would like to stick around.
We will report out.
Torture yourselves.
We have cookies.
That's right.
Love ya.
What do you mean, really?
We'll be here.
What the heck?
Thank you, everyone, for coming.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks a lot.